This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Amended testimony. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Wednesday, November 6th. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The U.S. ambassador to the European Union has reversed earlier statements in the impeachment inquiry. Meanwhile, there's a new report about Hunter Biden.
9 U.S. citizens murdered on a Mexican roadside are thought to be caught in a drug cartel gang war. Also, there's been an arrest in the case.
On Election Day, Democrats flipped control of the Virginia legislature and won an upset in the Kentucky governor's race.
And the battle over college counseling at elite high schools.
So there is a bit of a pushback by college counselors at the really top private high schools, saying to families, you're already paying all this money for tuition. You don't need outside help. Trust us. Trust the process. Don't hire another college counselor to also weigh in and, frankly, confuse the students.
Reporter Melissa Korn at the Wall Street Journal on whose college advice to take. She's here in about 20 minutes. Democrats in Kentucky have claimed an upset win in the race for governor. Attorney General Andy Beshear, whose father, Steve, was the state's last Democratic governor, scored a narrow victory over Governor Matt Bevin despite an election eve rally headlined by President Trump. Opinion polls showed Mr. Bevin may be the least popular governor in the country after he waged high-profile fights with labor unions and teachers. Mr. Beshear, during his victory remarks.
Let me be very clear. To our educators, this is your victory.
Mr. Beshear's upset win has some Democrats believing they can oust Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell next year when he's on the ballot there. Meanwhile, Democrats took both chambers of Virginia's legislature, now fully in charge for the first time in a quarter century, Governor Ralph Northam.
Voters like the progress that we as Democrats have made over the past few years, and they want us to continue that progress.
In Mississippi, Republican Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves defeated Attorney General Jim Hood. Democrats and President Trump agree on at least one thing. Pennsylvania is one of the most important states on the electoral map in 2020. Analysts place it in the top three states to watch. The complexities of the Keystone State, from Candy Woodall, reporter at the York Daily News. Candy, explain.
We know we have a lot of candidates campaigning in Pennsylvania every week. And we saw the same thing in 2016, where you had candidates here every day for 3 weeks leading up to the election, sometimes two visits a day in the state. And we're seeing that same thing now. And we're just at the beginning, you know, of the one-year march to the 2020 election. And, you know, there's still... Trump is obviously trying to get the same voters who came out for him in 2016. He knows he needs that enthusiasm, and he's trying to rally that support again. And Democrats are hoping to persuade some of those Democrats who voted for Trump in 2016 to come back to them in 2020.
Where are the different pockets of support for, say, President Trump versus some of his Democratic rivals?
Well, what we saw in 2016 is a lot of what we're seeing now, which is sort of this urban versus rural voting competition, if you will. And I would say what I'm seeing even more on the ground is it's really about small towns. And candidates overlook small towns in Pennsylvania because the way to campaign in Pennsylvania for the last, you know, several decades has been to focus on Philadelphia and Pittsburgh because those are your population centers, especially those Philly suburbs, which continue to grow. But what we saw in 2016 was all these voters who had just been sitting at home on Election Day for decades came out because, you know, they were sick of what was going on. They were tired of the same old, and they wanted something different, and Trump was that different thing for them. And so So to neglect those small town voters would be a mistake this time for any candidate, because they, you know, we're talking to them every day and they still care. You know, they still care and they're motivated and they want to be out. So you're seeing areas that the areas I'm watching closely would be Scranton, which might be a surprise. You might expect me to say Philadelphia, but I already know, I think, how Philadelphia will vote.
Yeah.
But Scranton, Trump almost won Scranton in 2016. Mm-hmm. And he won Erie. You know, Erie had always been blue. He won Erie in 2016. I'm keeping my eyes on those. And then especially on the area where I grew up, which was southwestern Pennsylvania, in the county surrounding Pittsburgh, they went pretty overwhelmingly for Trump in 2016. Those counties around Pittsburgh went overwhelmingly for Trump in 2016, and there's still a lot of support there. Blue-collar Democrats who still like that Trump's a fighter. They like that Trump tweets and and he says things that most Democrats find offensive.
Yeah.
The workers there, they like that. They wanted someone to kind of put their finger in the eye of the establishment, and they see Trump as the candidate who's doing that.
We're speaking with Candy Woodall, reporter at the York Daily Record in Pennsylvania, part of the USA Today Network. She's written a piece entitled "Why Pennsylvania is Vital to Trump and Biden or Anyone Else Who Hopes to Win." I thought it was interesting that you pointed out the impeachment inquiry has hurt Joe Biden more than, say, President Trump. Any feel for why?
Well, first of all, I don't feel like voters here are really connecting with the impeachment inquiry. And I think part of it is that it's not public yet, but also this feels removed to the voters I'm talking about. They see this as, you know, Washington antics rather than something that's really going to make a meaningful impact in their lives.
Candy Woodall, reporter at the York Daily News. Gordon Sondland, the U.S. ambassador to the European Union, told a Ukrainian official this summer that aid to that country would remain frozen until Kiev committed to investigations sought by President Trump. That's a reversal of earlier testimony released by Democrats yesterday as they try to prove a quid pro quo between aid to Ukraine and investigations into Democrat Joe Biden and election interference. That said, Mr. Sondland testified the president told him privately that the two were not linked. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
The president of Ukraine didn't believe that. The president of the United States on the phone call didn't say that. So all this is just intrigue to me.
On a related note, the Wall Street Journal reports today that a consulting firm hired by Burisma Group mentioned that Mr. Biden's son served on the board of the Ukrainian gas company so the firm could leverage a meeting with the State Department. Hunter Biden served when his father, then the vice president, was overseeing U.S. efforts in Ukraine to reduce corruption. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Authorities say 9 U.S. citizens, including 3 moms and 6 children, were massacred on a road in northern Mexico, possibly because a drug cartel mistook their SUV caravan for rivals. Mexican prosecutors say the group, part of a Mormon community that settled in Mexico decades ago, included a 29-year-old mom fatally shot in the chest when she jumped out of her Chevy Suburban in rural Sonora to wave down help for a flat tire. Another mother and her 4 kids were burned alive in their SUV. Word this morning, by the way, that one arrest has been made in the case. President Trump is offering to help Mexico wipe out the drug cartels believed to be behind the ambush. Utah Senator Mitt Romney.
I agree with the president when he says Mexico has to really knuckle down and go after some of these cartels and stop this escalating level of violence, and hope that if there's a way we can help in that effort, that we're called upon to do so.
Seven other children in the vehicle survived. The seven of them, all siblings, were saved when one of them hid under brush outside their SUV before reportedly walking back 14 miles to their community to get help. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, in Kentucky, Republican Governor Matt Bevin refuses to concede the election to his Democratic challenger.
Raised by any stretch. Not a chance.
With 100% of the precincts counted, Attorney General Andy Beshear is ahead by about 5,000 votes. Democrats won complete control of the Virginia government for the first time in a generation, capturing both chambers of the legislature there. In a stunning concession that blatantly undercuts the president's repeated denials of a quid pro quo, U.S. Ambassador to the European Union Gordon Sondland states in House Intelligence Committee testimony revised this week that he told an aide to Ukraine's president military assistance would not be released until Ukraine agreed to investigate a gas company with ties to VP Joe Biden's son. Sondland says he recalled the events differently after his memory was refreshed. Congressman Mike Quigley is a Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee.
It's never too late to do the right thing. I don't want to be critical of anyone who comes forward.
The first day of jury selection in the Washington, D.C. trial of flamboyant former Trump confidant Roger Stone ended early after Stone told the judge he had food poisoning. He faces charges related to allegations he tried to collaborate with WikiLeaks to release emails hacked by Russia to damage Hillary Clinton's Democratic presidential campaign. The Philadelphia man accused of killing three men on his cousin's farm in rural Bucks County in July 2017 is expected to take the stand at his own trial. The attorney for Sean Kratz says his previous lawyer was not acting in Kratz's best interest when he worked out a deal with prosecutors for Kratz to plead guilty to third-degree murder in exchange for 59 to 118 years in prison. Kratz backed out at the last minute. His trial in the grisly murders opens today. More than 11,000 scientists from a broad range of disciplines signed a new editorial declaring a climate emergency. But some researchers are criticizing one of the proposed remedies, halting population growth. They call it imperialist, saying affluent nations generally already have flat or declining birth rates, so the proposal largely seems directed at fast-growing developing nations in Africa and Asia. Calling all female music makers, Procter & Gamble's looking for you. The Cincinnati-based maker of consumer goods is pledging to use 100% women-made music in all marketing efforts related to its secret deodorant brand. It's an effort to promote equal representation in the music industry, where women make up just 17% of artists, 12% of songwriters, and 2% of producers.
All right. Thank you, Rasa. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the first application season since the college admissions cheating scandal, schools are weighing how to exert control over counseling. Tolerance for families hiring private college consultants has waned in the wake of the nationwide college admissions cheating scandal that led to charges against 52 people. It's a story by Melissa Korn, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Melissa, what's going on?
So there is a bit of a pushback by college counselors at the really top private high schools, saying to families, you're already paying all this money for tuition. You have great support here at the school. You don't need outside help. Trust us, trust the process. Don't hire another college counselor to also weigh in and, frankly, as the school counselors say, confuse the students. Mm. Give them too much advice can sometimes be a bad thing.
I guess that's the nature of today's competitive environment. How can my kid have that one extra edge? Is that what's going on here?
Exactly. One college counselor describes it as kind of an insurance policy. Another says, you know, the school person, that's their agent. I'm their manager. You can't have too much help is their approach. And a lot of the parents agree. They say the high schools start counseling too late. They have different end goals. You know, they want to get all their kids into a college, not necessarily every student into their dream school. So there are some competing interests here, but it ends up really ratcheting up the stress level for a lot of these families.
Oh, I can imagine. You referenced, too, I think some of these elite schools want to know if you are actually using an outside counseling service. Why do they care? Why does that matter?
Well, because they want to know where the student is getting advice from. Is it just from them? Is it from a parent or a grandparent or a neighbor or someone else who's on the family payroll? Because they, you know, they worried about quality control. Is the student telling the truth in their applications? If someone else is helping them write their essays, and they say these outside counselors maybe are a little bit too aggressive in packaging the kids, in editing or ghostwriting essays, and you lose some of that authenticity for the student.
Oh,
now,
wow.
That's what the school-based counselors say. The independent counselors say, no, they are on the up and up. And if anything, they stay a little bit more secretive because the schools are pushing them to the sidelines.
Wow. Yeah. We're speaking with Melissa Korn, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called, Whose Advice Are You Taking? The Fight Over College Counseling at Elite High Schools. All right, so is there any way to feel as to whether or not these outside counselors, for example, steer kids in a direction that's completely different from what the school counselors would push them?
Sometimes they do. School counselors, parents say, can be a little bit more downbeat in talking about a kid's prospects, and the independent counselor can really push them to go for a different school. They can also help them, you know, they can help them, not just hurt them. So it's a constant battle. It's something that's been around for a while, but it's really picked up, and kind of the pushback by the school-based counselors has escalated since the Varsity Blues college admissions cheating scandal broke last spring.
That's Melissa Korn, higher education reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Hey, thanks for being with us and welcome into Wednesday, November 6th. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A diplomat amends his Ukraine testimony. Democrats win in Virginia and Kentucky. Republicans win in Mississippi. An arrest in the roadside ambush of U.S. citizens in Mexico. An ABC News anchor caught slamming her bosses for sitting on her Jeffrey Epstein story 3 years ago. Xerox said it might purchase HP. San Jose Sharks forward Evander Kane being sued by a Vegas casino for over $500,000 in credit. And coworkers help a woman walking home 12 miles from work each day. That story in about 20 minutes. Former McDonald's CEO Steve Easterbrook stands to pocket $70 million worth of stocks and options as part of being ousted from the company over a consensual relationship with an employee. That's according to a report by CBS. Meanwhile, his firing is just the latest reminder that office relationships are tricky terrain and can end badly if they aren't handled carefully. Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch, has spoken with some experts about office romances. Andy, what should we know?
One of the things is we all have to realize is in this day and age of the Me Too era, first off, companies are getting very serious about work relationship policies, and more so than ever before. There may be some that end up with a firing if you don't tell, or if you do it all together.
And explain, I guess there are policies that some offices have regarding this, right?
Yeah, some, you know, again, there are some that ban it outright altogether. There are others, though, that will make you sign what's called a love contract. And basically, a love contract is having the two significant others sign this paper saying, we're in a relationship, we acknowledge that, and we're going to release the company from any sort of future sexual harassment claims that could arise should the relationship go wrong. We understand there's a code of conduct. We understand that we can't hug and kiss, you know, in the workplace. We promise not to give any sort of be inappropriate at the workplace, that sort of thing.
Can a company fire somebody for a type of romantic relationship if there's no policy in place?
Sure. I'm not an expert, but my guess is yes, because first of all, there's really not a lot of laws that would protect you otherwise. Basically, there are laws that say companies can't fire someone if, you know, on their race or on their gender or if they're pregnant, but there's a big wide scope of things where companies have the power to decide who they want in their job, and, you know, and if they don't want a boyfriend and girlfriend at a job together, you know, they have that right.
Well, we're speaking with Andy Keschner at MarketWatch. Something that may not be included in today's guidance, if your policy was written, say, even in the 90s, you said be careful of using these location-based dating apps at work. Explain that.
Well, that's a whole different twist on things. Like, what happens if you're on Tinder and there's you pull up like people near me and there's someone who just so happens to be right in the same building as you, and it's like people have to be cognizant of that, and they also have to be cognizant of the fact that there's really no apps out there, at least according to one expert, that would block coworkers. So you have to be really on your game and block it out altogether from the start and just be on your guard to know that your profile might pop up on a coworker's feed and vice versa.
Yeah, jeez. Does it make sense to be upfront with management if you're involved in an office romance?
You know, it depends, according to the people I talk to. If this is going to be a serious thing, maybe this is the one. You want to, and if you've been introducing the person to friends and family, that's probably also the good time to let your employers know about it as well. Because for one thing, if you're taking pictures together and, you know, you're on your Twitter feed or Facebook feed, and it might come out in any event, so it's best to come from you. On the other hand, the people I talked to were saying, if there was something that happened, you know, maybe some one-night stand or some fling or something that's done and dealt with in the past, it might be best to just let sleeping dogs lie. Just don't even bring it up. Of course, be professional with the person, but there's no need to just sort of go back and dredge that up.
Thanks, Andy. Andy Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 20 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. We have some good news for a budding donut entrepreneur who is trying to hustle his way through college. You might have heard recently the story of Jason Gonzalez, a 21-year-old student who had been driving over 500 miles every weekend, shepherding boxes of Krispy Kreme donuts from Iowa to Minnesota and reselling the tasty treats because there are no Krispy Kreme locations in Minnesota. However, on what would have been his 20th run with his car loaded with up to 100 donut boxes, Gonzalez was contacted by the company and told to shut down his operations, claiming it was a liability for the brand. Now it appears Krispy Kreme's had a change of heart and is instead encouraging Gonzalez to maintain his side hustle and even donated 6,000 donuts to help fuel his budding business venture.
Wow.
Yes. In a statement to Business Insider, Krispy Kreme said their main concern was that their product was still in excellent condition by the time it was resold. sold. Once they learned that Gonzalez was trying to get through college debt-free, they say they wanted to help and are now working with him as an independent operator, even setting him up with 500 dozen free donuts when he restarts his business.
How about that? Yeah. Well, you know, I did that story briefly yesterday just to mention saying they had told him to shut it down.
Yeah.
So that's a great turn for him.
Yeah, it's a big, big turnaround.
But imagine if he's driving 500 miles.
Yes.
250 miles to get the donuts, I presume, in
right.
Iowa, and then
yes.
turning around and going back. That's
right. Trying not to stop short at any point.
Yeah.
You have all the donut boxes go flying into his windshield.
I mean, some people are paying $100 a box.
Yeah. Yeah, there. I mean,
so it's worth it for them.
There are fanatics. There are Krispy Kreme fanatics out there for sure.
That covers your gas, I would presume. In one sold box, people paying that much money.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about the gas situation, about how much he's. You know, mm-hmm. again, he's got it all figured out, and you know, obviously making some money from it, but
yeah.
he's losing a lot in the transportation costs
yeah.
for sure.
Well, wear and tear on the car,
right?
Sure,
that too.
And winters are tough going from Minnesota to Iowa and back. I would
right.
presume in the coming months.
Yeah, something tells me in January it might be a little more difficult. And if you want to set a Guinness record that won't be broken any. Time soon, it helps to pick a record that few would ever think of attempting or even be able to attempt. That appears to be the case for a Hong Kong jewelry company, which unveiled a gold toilet this week with over 40,000 diamonds embedded in the seat. The toilet, created by the Coronet jewelry brand, is made mostly of gold, with the seat composed of bulletproof glass with 334 carats worth of diamonds embedded in it. Guinness is scheduled to inspect the toilet today to determine whether it qualifies for a brand new record, most diamonds set in a toilet. It would be the 10th world record for Coronet, which previously captured titles that include most diamonds set in a watch.
Oh.
So I guess this is their thing. Hmm. They just kind of put diamonds on things,
yeah.
glue diamonds on stuff, and call Guinness and have them come
yeah.
over and put them in the book.
Oh, the toilet is kind of a radical departure from the watch.
Yes.
Right.
Well, you know, I guess they're 10 records in, so I guess they have to start getting creative, or else Guinness is going to be like, look, you can't just put diamonds on things. You got to come up with something. You got to come up with something a little more creative here.
Guinness is tired of looking at your diamonds.
Yes,
is
yeah.
Well,
I guess so.
I guess the good thing is that the toilet is composed of bulletproof glass.
Right.
So you can do your thing and not be worried about being rubbed out by a mob boss or something. Is that the deal?
Yeah, I suppose so.
I see. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. I'm now more efficient with my time thanks to Zapier, which automatically transcribes my data-filled emails into a spreadsheet or CRM. Zapier is the easiest way to automate your work. They support more than 1,500 business applications, which allows Zapier to connect all of your business software and will free you to focus on what matters most. See for yourself and go to my special link, zapier.com/Gordon. Connect the apps you use most and let Zapier take it from there. Zapier lets you instantly engage with leads, send them to a CRM or spreadsheet that notifies your team fast. You can build the exact solution you need in minutes without writing code or asking a developer for help. Join the over 4.5 million people that use Zapier to save an average of 40 hours per month. Right now, through November, try Zapier for free by going to our special link, zapier.com/Gordon. That's ZAPIER.com/Gordon for your free 14-day trial. Zapier.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. The obesity epidemic is going south. More than 7 in 10 American adults are either overweight or obese, according to the CDC, and Southern states top WalletHub's new 2019 Fattest States report. Mississippi rated the fattest state overall, largely due to having the highest prevalence of children and adults who are overweight and obese. That was followed by West Virginia, which ranked the worst in terms of health consequences, such as the share of adults with type 2 diabetes, high cholesterol, and heart disease. Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama rounded out the five fattest states. Alabama was found to be where residents drank the most sugar-sweetened beverages like soda and fruit drinks, but ate the least amount of fruits and veggies. On the flip side, Utah was ranked the least fattest, followed by Colorado, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and California, thanks to having some of the lowest rates of both obesity prevalence and health consequences, and rating high for fitness and eating more well-balanced diets. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, Democrats in Virginia have won control of the state legislature in Tuesday's elections, a big shift that opens the door for lawmakers there to pass new gun control laws, a higher minimum wage, and other measures Republicans have opposed. In Kentucky's governor's race, Democratic challenger Andy Beshear narrowly leads with about 5,000 votes.
I haven't had an opportunity yet to speak to Governor Bevin, but my expectation is that he will honor the election that was held tonight, that he will help us make this transition.
Not yet. Governor Matt Bevin refuses to concede. In Mississippi, Republican Tate Reeves was elected the state's next governor, keeping the post for the GOP.
The Lord always gets it right. And I think the people of Mississippi usually get it right, too.
Reeves beat back a strong challenge from Democratic opponent Attorney General Jim Hood. Mexican authorities say a suspect has been arrested in Monday's massacre of 9 family members from an American Mormon community on the Mexican side of the border. Officials say a drug cartel was behind the attack, and Utah Senator Mitt Romney believes the violence came from a case of mistaken identity.
I'd be surprised if it was a targeting, frankly. I think it's much more likely to be something associated with the business of the cartels. But I don't think we'll know until a full investigation is carried out.
Mass quantities of counterfeit prescription pills containing fentanyl are being manufactured by Mexican drug cartels for distribution throughout North America, according to the Drug Enforcement Administration. It's warning the public a sampling of tablets seized nationwide this year revealed 1 out of 4 contained potentially lethal doses of fentanyl. The Wall Street Journal reports Xerox is considering making an audacious cash and stock offer for HP, which has a market value of about $27 billion. HP, more than 3 times the size of Xerox. With anxiety disorders on the rise among kids and teens as well as adults, researchers at UC Berkeley have found an available non-pharmaceutical remedy, deep sleep. They found non-rapid eye movement, slow-wave deep sleep is the type of sleep most apt to calm and reset your brain. Their research finds a sleepless night can trigger up to a 30% rise in anxiety levels the next day.
Amazing how much we're learning about the importance of sleep right now. For athletes, as you point out here, anxiety.
I want a nap right this minute.
I don't blame you. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A 60-year-old woman who's been walking 12 miles home from work since her car broke down 3 months ago has some new wheels, thanks to coworkers and some strangers. Darlene Quinn was able to get a ride to work, but not home. Josh Lewis works with Ms. Quinn at FedEx. About a month ago, he and his boss began offering Ms. Quinn rides. It was on those rides he and his boss began to learn more about her situation. It turns out her car broke down and she couldn't afford to fix it, so she began walking. So a GoFundMe campaign was launched 2 weeks ago, and within a week, about 100 people had raised enough to buy Ms. Quinn a car. Organizers worked with a local dealership to buy the vehicle, then surprised her with it at work. Mr. Lewis said two locally owned businesses also offered help. One of them is offering free oil changes, and the other is offering tire service as needed. The businesses, by the way, would like to remain anonymous. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.